Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. This week, I'll be interviewing Richard Herring.
Thank you.
Hello.
Nice. Hello.
Comedian, blogger, international male, deadpan, bedpan, cautionary tale. Richard Herring, welcome to Inside the Comedian.
It's an honour. It's an honour to be here.
Now, it must be weird for you, or it might be about to be weird, that you're not the one asking the questions. I mean, I don't know if you know this. Richard does his own interview show. It's exactly the same as this, only less successful. Now, what drew you to a format of show where you're still in charge, but somebody else has to do most of the work? And take as long as you need to answer that.
Yeah, I think it may mainly have been that. It was a paucity of ideas.
Yeah. Ideas are the hardest bit.
They are difficult.
Yeah. It's
like, if you just come and make up a load of crap.
Right.
And get someone else to
turn it into something.
To turn it into a joke, yeah.
That's... Yeah, just go, here's some nouns.
That was what appealed, really. So yeah. It seems to be working okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what I find.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, it's fun. Okay, so now you're eagle-eyed viewers and listeners, this will not apply to you, so this will probably be cut. You're wearing a York City shirt. That's where you were born, isn't it?
I was born near York in Pocklington. I am the... No offence to you, I know you support York City as well.
Yeah, I'm from York.
I am the premier celebrity fan of York City and also the best player they've ever had.
That's right.
Yeah, that is... That's right. I've actually only been on the pitch once. I just walked from the side to the centre and then off again.
But that's actually an incredible record for York City.
It is.
No player has managed that distance without falling down.
So they made me the best player.
Yeah, but you didn't actually grow up there, did you? Like,
no.
You left. So what happened? What happened in York that meant as a child you had to leave?
Well, I was sort of worshipped as a god for the first four. It's very much like the Yorkshire Dalai Lama.
Right.
And I found they just pick a child that's been born within the bells of York Minster.
But it's an old tradition. Yeah. We still do it.
And Pocklington is near enough.
That's right. We're not very thorough with which child it is.
No.
We just sort of pick one at random.
Yeah.
You know.
And then they make you a sort of religious leader.
Yeah.
And I found the pressure of that for too much to bear.
It is a position for life, though. So you will find that in York, they are still going... He is going to turn up one Sunday, isn't he? I mean,
when I return, then York will be...
Will be whole again.
We'll return.
The crops
return
will finally grow.
The Minster will be unburnt down.
Miraculously.
Yeah, miraculously, the fire will go backwards.
Yeah, as soon as you hit the A64, it just started burning. I mean, we're quite upset about it, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I just couldn't.
The Council of York is quite upset. And it's made up of Dame Judi Dench, Mark Addy, Shed Seven, and that England manager we had who was terrible.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But they're quite upset that you've not come back.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry about that. But yeah, I moved on.
Where did you grow up?
I moved via Loughborough in Leicestershire.
Yeah, the sporty university.
Yeah, there is a sporty university that's away from me. And then I grew up in Cheddar in Somerset, where the... I don't know, there's a famous cheese from there.
What's it called?
It's called Somerset cheese.
I think I've heard of it, actually. Yeah. Somerset. You get it in, what are they called? Supermarkets.
Yes, sometimes in supermarkets. It's just wrapped up in little blocks.
Yeah, the blocks of Somerset cheese. Yeah. And you can have that with bread or ice, like anything, really.
Yeah. Loads
of things.
Everything. It's the beauty of it.
It goes with everything.
You can shred it. You can. Yeah. That's it, actually.
I see you shred it.
Shred it.
If you're trying to do anything else with it, it will just damage the utensil. When it's a remarkable cheese. Yeah. But it's sort of the vanilla ice cream of cheese, isn't it? You can have it with anything.
Well, and it's also made of vanilla ice cream.
That's right. No, it's why they call it the vanilla ice cream of cheese, because they put it in the cheese aisle and it will damage cutlery, but it is just vanilla ice cream. Remarkable
very
stuff.
Very hard vanilla ice cream.
Very hard.
And not and sort of impervious to heat.
Yeah, but easily
to
shredded.
To the extent if you put it on a pizza, it still doesn't melt.
Still there. just in a block. You've got to shred it, people. You've got to shred the Somerset cheese. So was it a difficult upbringing growing up in Cheddar, where the only thing is a cheese? The only culture of note is a cheese.
No, well, that was fine.
Was that okay?
Yeah, it was, you know, if they know what they can do and they stick to the cheese.
So is it just the cheese industry? If that got moved abroad, would Cheddar just...
Well, it's not the only industry, but all the other industries... made of cheese, so the cheese.
Their secondary cheese-based industry.
Yeah, well, they do other things, but they just make their equipment out of cheese, which makes many of them not work very efficiently. And so the cheese one profits from it because it's making cheese wheels and cheese drills.
Drills, yeah.
Yeah, cheese glass.
Yeah.
But then the people.
If you have a greenhouse made of the Somerset cheese glass, all the plants will die.
Yes.
Because it's impervious to light, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the blackest black that you could ever... Because light just won't escape it.
It's true. So it means that the cheese people do well, all the other businesses fail, but they're sort of feeding off...
Right, they're buying the cheese, at least, and the local community benefits.
The cheese community does well, but all the other communities do badly.
Yeah. Okay, so at what point did you go, you know what, cheese manufacture isn't for me, I'm going to make people laugh?
Well, the thing with me is they say some people can make anything funny, like reading the phone book. But the thing with me, I make everything funny. I just can't help
everything I say, whether you intend to, or...
So it makes my life quite difficult because sometimes you're trying to relay some awful news and people are laughing at it.
Yeah.
The audience today, I have to say, has been quite heavily sedated, so that
they have been
to help them through this.
Yes,
but, you know. So
you've been incredible by laughing the small amount you have.
It's been very good. It's so
and
unusual.
We can't thank you enough for
it's
that.
It's so polite and so unusual for me to just not have everything I've said.
Yeah. So you see a car accident, you dial 999 and they say, which emergency service do you require?
Yeah.
And you go, an ambulance, and they laugh.
They laugh and unable to help me. They assume it's a joke. So I thought I should, you know, that was my only option, really.
Right.
I turned to using that. It's a curse in many ways. I would love to be taken seriously, really. It can't be done.
No, that's wonderful, actually. What a preposterous notion. So it came quite naturally then. You didn't have to learn anything. You didn't have to.
No, I just. I think when you're into comedy, you have to. I think you very early on you have to work out what you're going to joke about. And I decided to joke about the most important thing. I thought that was important, that it has to be the most important thing in the world that you're joking about. So I chose my penis. And a lot of comedians have done the same thing.
Absolutely, they joke about your penis
all
the time.
But you know, it is my. You can't do it about anyone else's. It has to be mine.
Richard's penis, and it is the most important thing in the comedy industry.
It is, and that's why comedy is. And it means you have to spend a lot of time getting to know your own penis to investigate. I've turned mine over. The other side's quite different.
Is it?
A lot of people don't look at the other side.
There might be a rich seam on the other side that you could mine there.
Yeah. So it's always important. And get the other person's perspective on the penis, because you don't look at that underside.
Right. You don't.
And sometimes people have to look at it.
Not often.
No, not very often.
Not the underside, really. I mean, it's a very specific niche experience there. I think there's a lot of young comedians coming up today. Not here. They're not on their way. I mean, they're not coming up from Brighton and Hastings and places. I mean, young comedians sort of trying to make it in comedy, who haven't examined your penis enough.
I think that is true.
To really have their own insight into the topic.
It's true.
I think. And so it feels a lot like recycled material.
It does. You have to, you've got to be original.
Yeah.
But you know, I have the original penis that is the original.
Right, and that's a hell of an advantage.
It is.
Because people need your permission to do research.
It's terrible.
So now, you...
And I bear permission as well, just to say that, because I do work in show business.
Right. You can't just go, you're doing research now! That is frowned upon, if not illegal. So you were... I read you were briefly in a double act no one remembers.
Yeah.
Because it was before DVDs, and so there is no physical evidence it ever occurred.
That's true.
But is that why most of your fans are old men who were alive at the time?
I think that is... they have stayed very loyal. You have to remember those old men were young boys once.
I'll take your word for it. I mean, I don't believe it.
It's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe.
As we were young as well. Yeah, I was in a double act and I wrote all of the double act.
Sure.
And created it. And I thought I would create a sort of foolish character. And then I found a foolish person who I wrote clever things for.
Right.
And then I would just go and talk about my penis and they would say the clever things that I'd written. It was sort of...
Right. So the straight man sort of role, if you like, that you'd created for somebody else.
Yeah, for this other guy. And then, you know, I thought when I decided I'd had enough of doing all the work for him and he went off on his own, you would think the guy just saying the...
Saying the feed
you know,
lines.
Yeah, that can't work on its own. But and he's incredibly stupid.
Right.
He's the kind of guy who just would keep repeating the same thing over and over again. If you're having a conversation with him, it would just be the same few words.
Bovine.
Over and over again. I mean, I think people do seem to enjoy it, but I presume on a level, like when they're it's all bedlam. People can't sing a mentally ill person just repeating themselves.
I mean, it's a form of catchphrase comedy,
yes,
really.
Yes, I think it is. He's made a limited success.
Okay, that's not. But you truly branched out on your own, because do you think from you were allowed on TV back then?
Yes.
And
very.
Do you think it's a bit of a curse that you're considered a bit of a 90s face, you know, like Fido Dido or Dido? Do you think you're one of the Dido bunch?
I try not to use my face.
Right.
So that's a good way out of that conundrum. You know,
lots of people try to make faces funny and they're just not.
They're not funny.
They're not funny.
And if you hide your face through the medium of not having a camera on it.
Right.
Then
through audio
then people don't
know. Dance with a bag on your head. Those are the two funniest medium.
Put a bag on your
media,
head.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, it isn't too much of... Because also my face has changed quite a lot as well. I looked at a photo of me from the 90s and I look sort of handsome and young.
Right.
And now my face is all wrinkled and it's weird. I don't know how it's happened. I think I've got like a portrait in my attic that has stayed the same age.
Well, most portraits are like that.
I've got older.
I've got a portrait that's literally in my living room and it's exactly the same.
Is it? Yeah.
It's just stayed the same the entire time I've had it.
Yeah, I think I've got one of those.
Right.
So it hasn't been a problem because my face has aged with time.
I'd get that looked into because that doesn't sound healthy at all.
No.
I'd be quite worried if that ever happened to me.
Yeah. Oh, it probably won't happen to you.
Yeah.
No, you'll probably die.
Okay.
If you'd like to see Inside the Comedian recorded live, we'll be at the Edinburgh Festival from the 19th to the 23rd of August. Tickets are now on sale from pleasants.co.uk.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, you've done a dizzying number of stand-up shows, by which I mean 13.
yeah.
And I find that dizzying.
It is dizzying.
It's covering some incredibly controversial topics. I mean, you've done yogurt on a bike, the headmaster's cock, yeah. Menage a Christ, and oh fuck, I'm Hitler. Now, how do you pick what your next opus is going to be?
Oh, it's just very, very difficult, isn't it, to work
a lot of
out.
Reading?
Yeah,
reading involved?
I mean, I try and work out what Brian Logan at The Guardian is going to think is good
and
this
work
year.
Backwards.
Yeah, work backwards from that. And it's usually what Brian Logan wishes he could do if he was a comedian.
Right.
And so I just go and ask him what he would do material about if he was a comedian rather than a bloke having to go at people trying to do comedy.
Right.
Because they aren't doing what he would do if he was a comedian.
Right.
And then he tells me and I do it. And I usually get 3 or 4 stars
well,
from him
good.
For that. Yeah, so it's...
It's nice to know Brian would give himself 3 or 4 stars.
Well, I think he looks at me and goes, I would do that, but I would do it just slightly bit better, one or two stars better.
1 or 2 stars better than that. If I was doing Hitler, I would do a really good Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of you may not know, Richard is something of an internet pioneer when it comes to comedy. I mean, he really... You found new territory in not being paid to do comedy. And you've ruined the whole system for a lot of people. But the expectation now is that this is of no value at all.
Yeah.
And it's quite impressive.
Thank you.
As a one-man army that you've really gone forward. You can actually go on your website, I believe, and watch you in every second of the day just talking to yourself. Is that right?
Not every second, I'll just put it on, like when I'm asleep, you can just put it on repeat. There's about 5 minutes in the middle that I have some time to myself. I've got a podcast that we're in, which I am trying to collect all my tears in a cup.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Just people, I'm just the sound of them dripping. And
there's no talking.
There's no talking. Well, there's a... there's a sort of a sobbing thing, but I have to make clear it's because it's sound only.
Yes.
So I do have to be careful that I occasionally I'll go, I'm crying, I'm not masturbating.
For anyone who's just jumped in at the 12-minute point and is too into it.
Yeah, it's called The Tears of a Clown.
That's nice. Yeah, really, I like that. Yeah. I would listen to that. Yeah. I think what I'd want, though, is that it's actually quite difficult to catch a tear in a cup.
Yeah.
So that there's a big build-up to one tear. I wouldn't want sort of regular tears dropping, I don't think.
No, well, I know. And also, once you've cried for a while, you'd sort of dry up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, there'd be a big long period before you're crying at the fact you've been trying to cry for 4 days and you've really got no moisture left in your body.
It's a difficult
listen. You're slowly
turning
into a powder.
I'm not saying it's not a difficult listen, but I like to create things that are difficult listens for people to test them.
Yes.
To put them to the test. Comedy is a two-way process.
Yeah, one man testing others.
Yeah.
Have you thought about doing something that has some value to an audience?
I tried very hard with that for a long time, and then I realised they didn't like what I was doing, so I just thought I'd do something to irritate them.
And that worked.
Yeah,
and then they keep coming back.
And they liked it. That's the awful thing about these people.
Yeah.
They have nothing but my disdain.
Right. So you've got to keep trying to find new ways to be more mundane than before.
Yes.
Right.
Ultimately,
right. Okay. So the tears sounds pretty mundane, but it almost sounds poetic and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
So I've gone off it. I think you need something more sort of flaccid and grey.
Back to my penis. It all comes back. That's the all. It's a circle
it
of
is.
Life, and it all comes
it is
back.
All comes back. It all comes back.
And then comes out.
Like the great snake that circles the world in Norse mythology.
Yes, very much like that.
That we talk about.
Which was actually my penis.
Was that your penis?
It was actually my penis.
All right. The people of York will be thrilled that the Viking serpent was actually their god's penis. All comes full circle.
It does.
Do you think the internet comedy of today will be cherished and remembered in the same way that Four Candles is for our generation?
Yeah.
Or do you think it'll be forgotten like forever, like the Honky Trousers sketch? That no one remembers.
I think nothing's going to be remembered. I mean, but the beauty of comedy is that it's in the moment, and especially if it's going badly.
Then the moment seems to last forever.
It does last, but at least eventually it goes and it's gone, and you forget it.
And you go, phew.
Yeah, phew. It's gone. And I think that's comedy is of its time, and I think comedy at its best is when you have an explosion of something. Hopefully laughter, but it could
right.
be
could be bombs.
Could be anything.
Right.
Could be the
bowels.
Could be the earth as you float off into a vacuum.
Oh. I hope that doesn't happen. That's literally my worst fear.
And so it's about. I think it's about that way that someone will remember it. Good or bad,
yes.
Eventually they will fade into nothingness and it will go with them. And
so do you think you, Richard Herring, would like to fade into nothingness, or would you like to be remembered for something?
I would like to. I'd like to have a wall that I've built that is visible from space around the field I walk around every day. But apart from that, I have no real ambitions for immortality.
You don't want a commemorative bench or bin?
Just a big wall with my name that is remembered. And I'm
across the whole wall?
Yeah, just that people know that's what the
wall
is.
They'd really have to stretch out the letters if it's going to be visible from space. It's going, where do you live? I live near the R.
So apart from that...
We're going to the I at Christmas.
I think I probably once did want to live on through my work, and then I realised, you know,
that's this, unlikely.
It is really unlikely. Also, I mean, I literally wanted to live on through it. I wanted to be inside the work,
right,
and still alive, going, "Hey, it's me, hello." And then I realised actually what happens. Shakespeare's still dead, but
right.
just some stuff he wrote down still going. That's not good, is it?
Right.
He's still dead. Doesn't mean anything to him.
I would find it very funny if what people do with Shakespeare's scripts now, he thought was total shit. He's like, you just haven't got it at all. Why are you being all serious, poncing around in tights? We were dressed as cats when we did it. It's all cat plays.
It is.
That's what I wanted.
Well, it's true. You have no control over the way your work is interpreted.
It's reinterpreted by another generation.
So, when
the school kids are performing your podcasts at Christmas, who knows what they'll think it means? We have no way of knowing.
I'd love it if they made school children.
Oh, so you would like
that? I'd love that. What I would like is school children, all other subjects were wiped out. Children had to learn verbatim from episode one of Collins and Herring the way back. Every single one, they have to learn them all verbatim and recite them.
I mean, that's what school becomes.
Yeah.
I have to feel an apocalyptic event has happened to reach that point where only the British Comedy Guy website remains of culture.
That is how I want to live on through my work,
right.
And that is the only way I will accept.
Okay, of kids having to learn.
Yeah.
Stuff you said at random, verbatim.
Yeah, none of the references would make sense. I mean, even if you did them now, most of the references wouldn't make sense.
Right.
But if you did them in 100 years' time, it'd be like, you know, it's like the way at school when you're doing Shakespeare and you just go, I don't understand anything.
Yeah.
So annoying. Why are you making me learn this? I just want to be that sort of sandpaper of annoyance from the past. They just have to rub their face against until they're allowed out of school.
Yeah. I think that's a more achievable ambition.
Okay, I'll give that a go.
Yeah. I've got some questions from Twitter. Are you happy to
know? Okay, yeah, I'm aware of
Twitter. At Blind Pooh says, what's the smallest place you've ever been trapped?
Good question. I'm not really into these ideas of just asking people sort of zany, weird questions.
Okay.
But I'll give it a go. I think in the... I've been trapped in my own tiny part of my own brain.
Right.
Yeah, I've been able to get out of that, and there's a very small part
there's
of my brain.
There's a lot more brain outside of that
is, and I'm sort of
just
trapped.
Can't access.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's quite a small place. We sort of are trapped, in, aren't we, inside?
We are. Because we're told that if you know, the brain is removed, we're dead, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're in there.
Yeah.
That's proof, right?
Yeah, and like we can't... I've never got out of it. Not that I can prove.
No. No, I mean, I'm always looking from inside my head.
Yeah.
Never the other way.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think my own quite small body, trapped inside.
You're trapped inside.
Yeah. Well, which is smaller than anything I've been trapped inside, because it's always been slightly bigger than my small body when I have been trapped.
I think if you were trapped inside something smaller than your body,
yeah,
it would probably be fatal.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm not an engineer, but... Okay. At Driving Shoes says, if you could ruin one dinner party, whose would it be and why?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah.
So many people to choose, aren't there?
Yeah.
I mean, sort of anyone who has a dinner party, really, because they never invite me to them, so...
How do they not?
I think because they think I would ruin them.
Right.
So I'd like to go to that person's dinner party and prove them
right.
Exactly right. So then they will think, well, we did make a mistake in inviting him or letting him in. I imagine just letting me in the door. I imagine the scenario is they're having a dinner party. Yes. I've seen it. I ring the doorbell, rush in.
Are you just passing in the street?
Yeah.
And you see the lights in the window and the laughter.
I rush in, get out my penis, put it in the souffle.
Oh.
Yeah, and
spent
then they
all
go,
afternoon on that.
We were right.
Yeah.
It's all gone down.
Psst.
Yeah, and the souffle as well.
That's quite a skill to deflate a souffle in one one shove of your penis.
It's a skill I have.
Wow,
the skill I've been working on for just that scenario. So anyone, any dinner party. Yeah.
Okay. Well, great. At Carlisle Flood Prevention says, have you flood-proofed your Carlisle property? You'll be grateful in the long run, and you can't put a price on peace of mind. Have you? I haven't.
I've not got any property in Carlisle. Carlisle's one of the places that I was quite glad when it got flooded, because I'd travel there for 6-7 hours to get there.
Right.
And 25 people would come and see me, and then I'd travel home for 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah.
I was sad for the 25 people that they'd lost their possessions, but the rest of the fuckers can go drown.
Richard Herring, thank you for letting me inside you.
Thank you very much.
Richard Herring.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, your host, David Reed. For the latest news and guest announcements, please go to MrDavidReed.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.